pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. That's how you interact with the program. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, Chris Blackshear making a little news. We talked about him yesterday. He went on Capital Journal on Friday night and talked about gambling, talked about some other things pertaining to NIL. Is there anything that the state needs to do to deal with this NIL issue? And the short answer is not really. But they can make some, I guess, have some influence on whatever the federal government does at the congressional level. So anyway, that is coming up in about a half hour. Let's talk about this. And we haven't spent a lot of time on Alabama High School Athletic Association and what they're trying to just the way they're trying to handle private schools. But it does sound like there's a big meeting, and they're going to talk about forming something with the AISA and some of the private schools that feel a little disenfranchised by the High School Athletic Association. So it's interesting to me. We'll talk to Chris Blackshear about that too. There's just turmoil, and there's some historic, longstanding rivalries, the schools that play each other, public versus private. The High School Athletic Association, I don't know that they necessarily really appreciate some of that. It's a entity that's sort of dominated by schools from all over the state. But I still think, despite seemingly coming to an agreement with the legislature, the governor, there's still a lot of turmoil there in high school athletics in Alabama. And the way they kind of act as if they're above the law. We're going to talk about that with Representative Blackshear. And we'll also talk about gambling. Apparently, his comments on Capital Journal were deemed newsworthy enough for most of the outlets in the state to talk about the, gambling. And something he said that was interesting to me, that didn't get really picked up, that there were no conversations going on right now. That there were no conversations going on right now. So if there's really a special session coming in 2027 to deal with gambling, maybe it really is going on behind the closed doors or in the room behind the room with the closed doors. Something to that effect. But he says he's not really a part of it. And the other thing about this is, like, with the departure of Greg Albritton from the Alabama State Senate, he's really probably one of the guys, when you start talking about gambling on the Republican side, who are the kind of the leaders of whatever movement, and you'd put him there. So he's always been very open to coming on this program, and we're very appreciative of that. That's in about a half hour. Jerry Carl coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm going to start working these AL1 candidates. We'll get Austin Sidwell on too soon. But we're getting into crunch time here. Actually, the other reason I wanted to have these guys on is obviously because of my absence in the 2 weeks preceding the August 11th primary. So this may be either one of the last or the second to last appearance from the congressional candidates before y'all go vote. Those of you who will exercise your right to vote on August 11th. And then it is Tuesday for P2 Public Affairs. Will Hansen will make time for us, so make sure you stick around for that. Text line 251-343-0106. Once again, you want to be in touch with the program, hit me up on that text line, and we'll proceed accordingly. Darlene Graham, I think she's going to win in South Carolina. South Carolina is a very interesting state. We talk about elections and politics. There's a kind of a warm and fuzzy familiarity thing. Despite all of his shortcomings, Lindsey Graham always won his reelection bids handily. It just seems like that's, and we'll talk to Will about this, who knows that state pretty well as the, is a former comms guy for Nancy Mays, as the guys mentioned in the last segment. If he thinks, as I suspect, it's Lindsey Graham's sister, the late Lindsey Graham's sister, is the favorite now. Let's see here. How do we feel about this? I know this is going to trigger Mike, but Coach Tuberville, our soon-to-be governor, says, talking about the potential for boots on the ground, at least at Karg Island, which would be, you know, sovereign Iranian land, would be a really bloody fight, I think, to try to take that island. We've been at this for 9 nights in a row now. Price of crude is about the same as it always has been. It's up $2, $84 a barrel. As gas prices are going to follow. They're easing up a little. You can sense it. That's probably coming. Marcus continued to monitor the conflict between the U.S. and Iran after Washington carried out its 10th consecutive day of strikes. And President Trump vowed Tehran will pay, quote-unquote, for attacks that killed American soldiers. And just some tankers that have been struck in the Strait of Hormuz. And the Houthis are threatening Saudi traffic in the Red Sea. What a mess. So watch for that gas price to click on up a little bit. National average is about $4 right now. The start of this war, it was about $3 a gallon nationally. You'd like it to get to $3.50 before the end of the summer. Now, and then when Labor Day comes and goes and the price is reset, because the mixture changes, you'll start cruising a little bit better. But there's just no end in sight here. And listen, I'm not here to. I mean, I will probably have to answer a text about it, about Israel or whatever. But the point is, the longer this goes on, the worse it is for the economy. The worse the economy gets, I'd say it's still blue in the face. The harder it's going to be for Republicans to win in November. Voters who are not as engaged are going to blame the president. The president is Republican. They're going to vote for Democrats. They're not even going to care if they're socialist. We're not a very deep thinking voting public sometimes. And that's just the way it kind of goes there. We mentioned Black Shear coming up here in just a moment. Did you see the AOC in Montgomery doing the Southern accent, or actually in Memphis. But I guess she recently had come to Alabama and said she wanted to pull up the South. So she's making this tour around the South. And I think it's Justin Jones or somebody in Memphis she's campaigning alongside. That this is just reeks of Hillary Clinton. Out of touchness. The beauty of the Democrat Socialist is I don't think that they kind of connect on a retail politician level with a lot of people. That Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Little hiccup there as we reconnect some equipment. But I think we're at least on solid footing, and we have fired up all of the necessary backups. So should be smooth sailing from here, or if it isn't, it'll be a brief interruption, unlike what happened there. 251-343-0106. Jason writes, the phony AOC thing reminded me of Barack Obama at Tacky Jacks having bushwhackers and pretending to love Alabama. Well, is it like the thing that comes to my mind was Hillary Clinton at Selma. I've gone too far. Or so, she did her like spiritual voice, and it was just, yeah, no ways tired. And like I said, there's the tendency or the impulse to do that tells you that there's a clear, like, inability to connect to people. This is easy for her to connect to the Karen on the Upper East Side who sits in her condo or townhouse and spends the day watching MSNBC. She's like incapable of that. But the average voter, Democrat voter in Alabama or Tennessee or the Southern Democrat. It seems like, I mean, Doug Jones does an okay job. Those Democrats are few and far between, but people can spot a phony generally, and that's the way a lot of these guys come off. Like they don't have an organized political structure. They have some very wealthy donors who believe in this idealistic utopia, nonsense. But the smart people, they're all like Democrat establishment. Very cynical, very DC'd up. And the same problem the Tea Party had. Like the people who do the political gaming, the consulting, do it for a living, that know the map, that know the cultural idiosyncrasies of certain places, that understand it, that they're all working for the wealthy guys. Now, so I think that some of the Republican side's a little phony too, a little hokey. But that's where the political movement's going to struggle. Sure, idealistic, ideological level, the socialist will have their followers. But y'all got to remember something about America and sort of the aesthetics and, you know, a very, like, what's in the eye of the beholder? Very cosmetic. That they're not really drilling down deep on, like, what's her, what's the socialist movement's opinion on the Fed or on the carried interest tax loophole or whatever. They're more just looking at someone just, you know, not very deeply. Just, hey, that looks like a guy I could connect to. Barack Obama's a perfect example. He was very good at that. If they ever had like a Barack Obama type figure who came off as a normal, not to you and I, but generally throughout the country, came off as a normal guy, even if he wears mom jeans to a baseball game. But you know, it just comes off as a normal dad to some people. That's what works. And I don't think these people are capable of that. Hillary Clinton never got any criticism for her hot sauce and spirituality, so they won't stop. Democrat Dem voters don't care, would pitch a fit if a Republican did the same. Remember how a big booty Latina AOC danced and laughed around her constituents for criticizing her over immigrants getting preferential treatment? These people need to stop being untouchable. I think Hillary Clinton got hammered for that. Maybe not in the mainstream media, but it got played on a loop on a lot of national conservative talk radio and Fox News. Mike, can you ask former Representative Jerry Carl running for District 1 if he supports importing more cheap labor for farmers and skilled blue-collar trades? We did this already. When he talked about it on Sean's show back in the spring, it cemented why he's unfit to represent Alabama, but he's a perfect big business shill. Every few weeks when I have him on, you ask me to ask him that. And the response is the same. Just a political movement is more like a talent show than a substance of issues, and people have always seemed to vote for the best actor. Well, let me say this. There is an American Idol-ness to it. But you know when someone's lip-syncing. You know when they're not really performing what you're hearing from your ears. That's the political magic of this movement right now. If I'm advising them, that's what I think. I think that they just, they don't understand making that connection. Yeah, Fire Dog asks, was AOC ain't no ways tired? Tim writes, Jeff, what are your thoughts on Lindsey Graham's sister running for office? She can't do worse than the church pews. Why do y'all hate Jerry Carl so much? Some of you. But let me say, I think she's going to win. There's just in South Carolina, it's a lot like Alabama. But there's also just this, they like this familiarity, this connection. That's what the voters are like, okay, I know that name. It's how Strom Thurmond and stayed in office for so long. It just seems like that's what we should expect, and I think she's going to win. Maybe I'm wrong. Will Hampson will tell us one way or another. But I haven't seen any polling. That's just what my gut tells me. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will.
Once was a thought inside my head.
To the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Jerry Carl coming up in about an hour, then in the 11 o'clock hour from P2 Public Affairs, our Tuesday regular political consultant Will Hampson will join us. Joining us now on the line, he's from Russell County. I always appreciate his time, but State Representative Chris Blackshear is on the line with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Happy Tuesday morning to you.
Hey, thank you for coming on. We always appreciate it. How's the all season treating you this go around?
It has been really good, but you know, it's not your ordinary off season with campaign season about to heat back up with everyone that has general elections coming up in November. So getting ready to roll my sleeves up and do dual duty, you know, continue to represent your district and also getting ready to gear up for a campaign here in a couple weeks.
Hi, how you feeling? I mean, historically it's a Democrat cycle. It's still Alabama, but Democrats showed a little bit of flex during the May 19th primary. Is any of that on your radar?
Well, it absolutely is. I think it's his, let's use it both ways. I think it's both sides of the coin. I think you saw some of the Democratic flex. There was a little more vote motivation that you've seen in previous elections from that side to go vote. A little apathetic on the Republican side, in my personal opinion. I think we got to find a way to make sure that, you know, no matter what the election cycle is, that's when you truly have your voice heard. And I hope the Republicans show up to the polls in November to vote.
Well, the reason I want to get you on a few things, and let's kick it off here. The private schools are about to meet. They're talking about their future. There still seems to be, despite the settlement with the legislature and Governor Ivey, a little bit of turmoil in the High School Athletic Association. I assume you're monitoring this. And any thoughts on what's going on there?
Well, first off, well played with kickoff. You know, we're 4 weeks away from football season in high school in the state, so that was a good innuendo there on your behalf. But, I think this week is sports week in Montgomery with the HSAA. They got a meeting coming up next week, the Central Board. There's still some major decisions, Jeff, that have to be made concerning the split now with the private schools, you know, the single A private classification and the double A classification. As we sit here today, what is it, the 21st of July? They still have no playoff format for the private school classifications. So I think that's the one big thing now. They have brought on board one of the things that Heath Harmon, the executive director of the HSAA, said he was going to do, was going to hire an associate director role that would come in and be the liaison for the private schools in the association. Well, they did that. They hired Buster Daniels, who's been several years in the public school arena, but most recently had been the head coach at Lee Scott Academy in Auburn, who absolutely got put in a bad situation. You know, they were put in the Huntsville Birmingham region in the double A private classification. He's now, I think, entering week three on the job at the state office. So hopefully that's given some promise to some of the headmasters and leaders of the private schools. At least somebody now is inside the walls of the HSAA that feels their pain as far as the private schools are experiencing at this point.
Well, is it how much is this going to escalate? Because, I mean, there's a lot of people kind of speculating, hey, that this all just – you're going to see a lot of these private schools just walk away from the HSAA. I mean, do you feel like that's in the realm of possibilities?
Well, I think there are having some conversations. In fact, there's some meetings taking place later this week with some consideration of potentially launching a third option. I don't want to say association because I don't know what the parameters. I have not been involved in any of those conversations. That's outside the HSAA. Or the AISA would be a third standalone option. But my opinion, if I was asked, I would say be very cautious with doing that, because you got to make sure that if you're ever going to start something new, that a minimum you're offering the same opportunities for our student athletes that you currently have today. I don't see a school leaving one association for less extracurricular activities for their student athletes in another organization. And then, of course, what does your leadership structure look like? What do your bylaws look like? But I know that's a conversation that's taking place later this week.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of states like this where the private schools go at it on their own. Then they just start recruiting. It becomes like a pseudo collegiate environment. And that seems just awful to me. But the powers that be don't get this thing together, that's what you could wind up with at Alabama
at
some point.
You're right. Let me put it to you this way, Joe. This is my personal opinion, but I think I've got some pretty good data and statistics and just me seeing it firsthand. Your private schools recruiting in this state aren't your problem. It's the public schools. There is a system in place. They know how to do it. They know how to get the bona fide move to make it work and to get them there. You got a handful of private schools that have been doing it for years, but you got to think there's already been parameters put in place by the AHSAA for multiple years relating to private schools. One, the competitive balance. You know, you're already getting a 1.3 multiplier per student. So a lot of private schools in the AHSAA were already playing up because of the multiplier. You know, then they still had, you know, the same. So they already had that. And then they also were getting competitive balance. If you won championships, you also had to move up. So you got some private schools in certain sports playing 2, 3, 4 classifications up. Now, there's no public schools that have those same things. And let's just look, since we've had these conversations and the settlements taking place between the association, the legislative body, and the governor's office, you've had two private schools in the Birmingham area get slapped for recruiting violations. Excuse me. One in Birmingham, one in Mobile, two coaches suspended for the season, two programs, postseason eligibility gone because of recruiting. I've heard nothing from private schools. So until we really have a true conversation of everybody's doing it, we're never going to get to a true positive place where it's level playing field.
Well, then what's the solution there? I mean, it goes on. We know it goes on. Everybody who's really, really involved in high school athletics that I know is almost shameless in some places. And yet, like, we're myopically focused on this over here, which you say is not the problem. Then what do you do about the real problem?
Well, I think the real problem is, I mean, at the end of the day, people have figured it out, right? And they don't understand the rules. I mean, if you move and you make a bona fide move, you are eligible to play. And we have a lot of parents that now want to put their kids in the best program for whatever sport that may be, right, across this state. So you do have parents that are moving. You may have some schools that 8, 9, 10 people that have moved from out of state to their school district. Well, you could say they're recruiting, but in the day, they're legal, right? They're eligible. They're moving from Colorado, California, Texas, Tennessee, and they're coming to your school district. They're making a bona fide move. They're eligible.
What, I mean, does this go on? I mean, I've always heard this, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but like in Phoenix City and just getting students just to come across the river there from Columbus or wherever in Georgia, like maybe it's in some places where, you know, that's something that a lot of, you know, especially 7A schools don't have the ability to do. Does that go on? I mean, I've always heard that.
It's happened in the past, but I tell people, if you're moving from Georgia or Columbus, let's be specific, and you're moving to Phoenix City, you might as well be moving from California to Phoenix City. You're out of state. You have to make a bona fide move from one state to the other to be eligible. So if you're moving from Columbus to Phoenix City, it's no different than moving from San Diego to Phoenix City.
Right.
You're coming from out of state and you're establishing residency. Now, what's becoming the problem now of these border states is not as much, Jeff, that example, as now with NIL being legal at the high school level in Georgia. Where do you think a lot of kids are trying to get to from Alabama now on bordering counties is trying to get an NIL deal to go play in Georgia?
Well, then,
so it's kind of flipped the coin a little bit.
But that is that something, I mean, can you keep that from happening in Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it can't happen until we pass legislation. And I may be one day standing on that island by myself, but I will be absolutely always a no on amateur athletes at the high school level receiving compensation. I'm supportive of it with guardrails and parameters at the collegiate level, but absolutely no way will I ever be on board with a high school kid being paid money to play sports. What's the difference if I have somebody that's really good in the drama program or really good in the band program? And then we start talking about compensation across the board. I just, it's a box I don't I don't want to open at the high school level, and that's just my personal opinion.
Well, I mean, what if they you get sued and the courts find that, you know, that they have a name, image, and likeness just like collegiate athletes? I mean, is it not saying that that's coming, but like, it seems like there's a precedent there that could apply to Alabama someday.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I mean, I think great segue straight into NIL. What an absolute mess. You know, you last time you and I talked several months back during the session, it's still just as big of a mess as it was then, right? I think Coach Tuberville, I think he's on the right track. I like his approach with what he's proposing now of you get one free transfer, and after that, you've got to sit out. I also think there needs to be guardrails around how you manage the money, how you pay an athlete. I think there should be requirements of commitments from the athlete to the university. It shouldn't be all commitments and all guarantees being one way. So I think, to your point, things have gotten so out of hand, right, with NIL and everything else. It's got to be addressed across the board at the federal level, because I think anytime we get down to the national, I mean, the state level, Jeff, we're seeing you're basically playing whack-a-mole, right? Every state's just trying to do whatever they can to give their universities a competitive advantage. And the way it stands right now, universities in Alabama could never compete with oil money from Texas, right, per se, let's use a great example, taking nothing away from Indiana, Mark Cuban stroking money. If Indiana can all of a sudden get money and get athletes and win a national championship, I mean, we're talking Indiana. We're talking basketball university, Indiana, right? Bobby Knight, Indiana sports, not Indiana football as your defending national champion. So just let that soak in for a moment.
Joined by State Representative Chris Blackshear here on the program. We'll get you out of here on this, the never-ending gambling saga. You said something interesting on Todd's show on Friday that you're not really talking about it right now, but I'm sure you're as plugged in as I am. I mean, I keep hearing this is something Governor Tuberville immediately would take a look at. I mean, do you get any signals that that's something that's in the works?
I mean, I've had no conversation with Coach and his staff, but I think, you know, one of my comments to Todd was, I think this next quadrennium, a conversation will absolutely happen. I do. I mean, let's be honest. Conversations have been happening since 1999, the last time the lottery was put on the ballot and right, failed across the state. So we're approaching the 30th year anniversary of having conversations. But I think from my perspective, if and when those conversations start with Coach and his administration, I hope the Senate is engaged and they're front and center, because I believe the Senate is going to have to carry the weight first on this one, since the House has done it multiple other times. I don't think we get off the ground until, one, Coach tells people what he wants, if anything that is he wants to do around the conversation, and two, leadership in the Senate is on board to get it through their body, then it comes to us. So we'll see how that unfolds here as we get into legislative session once we get into the 2027 calendar year.
Well, and the other part of this, I mean, the elections have created a little bit of a change of the landscape. Greg Allbritton not coming back. Typically, he's been involved, if not leading the charge here. I don't know who that becomes in the Alabama State Senate, but it's kind of like, you know, you start talking about the names in the chamber. Your name's up there. I mean, if you're not having a conversation with Chris Blackshear about gambling, then is there really anything going on?
Well, I don't know about all that. Well, that way, if that's the case, Jeff, that example, there's nothing going on then, if that's the case, because I'm not involved in any conversations.
Yeah, I just do you become kind of the tip of the spear, if you will, in these conversations, you think, now that the landscape has changed?
Yeah, but I think, though, you look at it, there's been a lot of people that's been in the middle of the conversation over the last 30 years. And I think the thing is when Coach gets in, he's sworn in, his administration gets to work, and if they make a decision, this is the topic they want to take up. I don't think there's a option that has not been drafted over the last 20-plus years. All the pieces of the puzzle are there, right? I think you just have to lay them all on the table and figure out what, if anything, can we put together to give the citizens of Alabama the opportunity to vote on. Again, it's not going to go away, right, Jeff? You said it at the top when you teased this conversation. You know, every time we talk, we're talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And at some point, it's got to make it to the ballot, in my opinion, to allow ultimately once and for all the citizens to have another right to vote.
Well, just on that, I mean, and you talk about, you know, what do you do about the illegal gambling? I mean, why wouldn't you just pass a law and take it from a misdemeanor to a felony crime?
I mean, you can, but at the end of the day, what's legal, what's illegal? You know, no, at this point, I agree 100%. We absolutely need to have the penalties increase, which we had that the legislation we passed in the House 2 years ago and sent to the Senate. But it's outside of that, no matter what the penalties are, right, you still have the old legality argument. Is it legal or is it not legal?
Right.
From that, no matter what the penalties are. So I think that's why, again, a holistic approach across the board is the only thing, in my opinion, that we're going to have, we can come up with to address the situation.
Representative, you're always very generous with your time. Best of luck. Safe travels, and thanks for hopping on this morning.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. State Representative Chris Blackshear there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Jerry Carl coming up in the next hour, so stick around for that. Also on the program, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs. Mike, I don't think Karg Island would be as terrible of a loss of life as when we were drugged until the full invasion of Iran. I don't understand the strategic importance of it since it's so far away from the Strait of Hormuz, which is supposedly the objective now. The only explanation is just a simple energy resource grab. Well, it's their terminal. You may be right about that. And I don't know how much is coming in and out of Karg Island anyway at this point. But it is... I guess it could be strategic in the sense that, yes, it's a long way away from the Strait of Hormuz, but it's also, you know, could be a place to kind of police the Persian Gulf. Kind of keep an eye on things. I don't know. It's sort of like, I don't know what you do with it. It's not as if we're going to roll up in there, plant some Exxon flags, and it's going to be business as usual. But you take it and then maybe have it becomes a bargaining chip or leverage over the Iranian government. Because clearly just striking them militarily is not, they seem to be willing to weather that storm. I think it would be who pays for the move and the rent for boosters to pay is wrong. College NIL is a mess. Don't you think high schools would be too? Lottery only. You're never going to get lottery only. And we've been through that. The gambling forces at Alabama are going to co-opt the lottery to hitch all their wagons, and that would be sports betting and casino gambling, where the system picks winners and losers to the lottery. So it's just like we could say lottery only, but you're never going to get the votes for that. Just certain parts of the state are never going to go for that. You have in the Republican caucus, you have a number of voters, a number of members who are just never gambling, never, ever, ever gambling. They're just going to always be against gambling. So that's A. So what do you do to make up for that? Because you have a Republican supermajority, and in theory, you don't need Democrat votes, but you got to go get some Democrat votes. And it's the Democrats who are going to force you. They're going to force you to put along sports betting and casino gambling on any lottery bill, if you want their votes, to get to that three-fifths supermajority needed to get on the constitutional referendum on the ballot. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Carry on, sweet Southern comfort. Carry on.